I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Passes at the wait in flight 00H127. That's flight 00H127. Please approach the gates. Your flight is ready for boarding.
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast.
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast. Are you locked into the Out of Home Podcast?
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast, featuring Kieran, Kwame, Yas, and Stephen.
You London boys are crazy.
We don't do that here, JD. We don't do that. We really don't do that. Don't do that.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. Why are you holding the mic like a rapper for?
I don't know. I was doing this in my music GCSE.
No, you need to talk into the mic a little bit more.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, they can hear you out there. Why are you still holding the mic like
a
rapper?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
This girl's been watching too much Link Up TV.
You're telling me, bro.
We got it.
Hey. I'm hoping that these levels are cool, and I hope that you guys can hear us. We are joined today. Well, to be honest, I should probably set the scene a little bit. Today, it is myself and Yaf from the Out of Home Podcast, and we are joined by Yaf's younger sister and talented artist, Jadine.
Who we just figured out is going to jump on TikTok soon. But yeah, we will go there momentarily.
Yeah, momentarily. Brother, what are you saying, man?
I'm good. Shouts out to the mandem.
Yeah, big shout out to the mandem, Stephen and Kwame, who aren't with us today because they are gallivanting through Europe.
Basically, bruv. That's what's happening. I think Kwame just touched down. Everyone's in different time zones. I just see them posting bare stories, living up life. Stephen was running on the treadmill of Jordan 4s. It was all going down, brother. Kwame sent the video, and you know when you hear a clumpy runner, like
Krum.
I was like, that's Stephen running on treadmill Jordan 4s. I know it is.
But why was he running on the treadmill with Jordan 4s?
Because it's Stephen, isn't it? Loyal to the soil. Of course he's running in Jordan 4s.
Oh my days. Jordan 1s or Jordan 4s or Jordan 1? I got the lyric.
Rolex has got
more than one.
I got minus one Rolex.
Yeah, I've not got one at all. I don't even have an Apple Watch. I don't even have an Apple Watch. I don't even know if I really want to like invest in one. But funnily enough, my boys have started this challenge on Apple Watch. Yeah. And I feel really left out. Like really, really. They're like, you man, we set a new challenge this week. Everyone join in. Synchronize your watches like some fucking Power Rangers. And I'm just there looking like Zordon, rude boy.
Oh my God. That is very funny, Jadine. I think you should tell this one.
Okay. Well, recently it was my dad's birthday.
You are holding that mic like Kwame now.
Okay.
Please talk into the mic.
Recently it was my dad's birthday.
Yeah.
And obviously, Yaffy got him an Apple Watch.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And then they're in the garden now. And then Yaffy's calling him. And then he's like, hold on, I get in the call. And then obviously it's Yaffy, just big flexing.
Oh, swear down.
Literally.
Oh, that's mad, man.
Yeah, shit.
Big shout out to Top Pops and that.
Thinks he's fly, though. He was like, watch when I go to Brixton. He's like, call me when I'm in Brixton so he can... Because you know you can pick up the call on your watch,
innit? Yeah.
So he's just like gassed and in his element. But I can't lie, bro, you can get one for like 200 on Amazon.
200.
200, you know, that's a flight to Amsterdam these days, isn't it?
Basically. It's definitely how much I had to pay for my flight to Amsterdam where we're going this weekend, bruv.
I feel like, what's the point if the same things you can do on your phone, you can do on the watch?
Please. Sell the watch.
Just look at my watch quickly.
For those of us who aren't in the room, Yaf is showing Jadine his watch.
Tell me what information you can see at a glance.
The location and the weather.
What else?
That's it. And the time. What watch is supposed to do?
What else?
Your location. What's that?
The date. If I press one thing. If I press one thing, I'll see my heart rate. Simply put, Apple Watches for the person who wants to be efficient with time. Okay, none of this getting your phone out of your pocket, unlocking it to see what your next meeting is, see what the weather situation is. All I need to do is glance at my watch to know what I need to wear today. Simple as that.
You might have sold it to me, bruv. You might have sold it to me.
Efficiency at its finest.
Yeah.
I go play football, I see how much calories I burnt.
Oh.
Go to the gym, see what my heart rate's saying.
I see you.
You know what I'm saying?
I see you. I should mention to our listeners today that Bucket Hat Yaf has now... Well, Bucket Hat Yaf season has commenced.
Yeah.
Yaf is in the My Home sporting his infamous bucket hat. I was thinking about getting one this year, like the fisherman one, you know, like the one with the string.
Fire.
Bit fire. Around the brim.
You know, I've got old school, it's grey, the Nike Lab one.
Is it?
If you want it.
Oh, yes, please, bro.
Yeah.
Yes, bring that to Amsterdam. Please.
Sorry, bro.
Too late.
You lost. Loser. You got enough bucket hats, so anyway, bro.
I want that one.
Yeah, I got the fisherman team.
Sorry, I'm going to have to take that one. Did you bring that to Toronto?
Nah, you know.
No.
I don't think Bucket Hat Yaf was a thing yet. The Bucket Hat Yaf was cultivated during Corona.
No trim season.
Yeah.
Man, what a delight. What an absolute delight. Well, I should actually introduce the podcast. You are listening to the Out of Home podcast, a show brought to you by four Londoners capturing and sharing stories of inspiring people while sharing our own. In the building, one building, representing that +44 operation, you have myself, Kieran, Loki, Big Keith from the South Side. Yeah. We have Bucket Hat Yaf, the bold rebel. It is the Caribbean connection. It is the island massive. We are taking over. And we are joined, as I said earlier, by Jadeen Downs, artist extraordinaire, sings on the side, and does acting when she's ready.
Don't know about that yet.
Yo, I can't lie, yeah?
Yeah.
There's a lot that's been happening and is going to happen.
All right.
And I'm very excited about it.
Oh, yeah. Please, bro. Let's dive into that a little bit.
So, I'm not even sure if this counts as what made me smile, but tomorrow evening, I'll be flying to Amsterdam. Hours after Kieran would have arrived.
Yes.
And this weekend, we have tickets. BTS tickets, might I add. To go to Oh My Festival in Rotterdam.
For those of you that don't know, BTS is behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
VIP.
Shouts out to the plug.
Two times. Maybe five.
Maybe six. How many tickets we got?
God damn.
Anyway, let me stop spilling the beans. It's going to be lit. I just created a group chat, by the way. I don't know if you've seen that. Yeah, us and the rest of the men.
Martin.
It's going to be a shutdown. I'm very excited.
He's called the group chat Big Moves. He has called the group chat Big Moose. I don't know whether or not I like it or I love it, but we're here. Oh snap. Alright, yeah, I'm going to get involved in that a little bit later. Yeah, it's looking good. The lineup is strong.
It just feels like summer.
Yes.
It feels like summer.
Bro, you know the last time we went was 4 years ago.
Ridiculous.
It was my 2 year anniversary in Amsterdam.
Or two,
Omar.
Who was performing?
Meek Mill was the headline act.
I remember that.
Yeah, Meek Mill was the headline act. That was a time of yesteryear when Yaf and I were on different things. Mm. Completely different things.
We've leveled now.
Leveled and moved on and grown as men.
Mm. Who's headlining this year then?
Say again?
Who's headlining this year?
Let me get the lineup.
There's a few good artists.
Yeah, I saw Lil TJ's there.
Wizkid.
Is Wizkid there, yeah?
Yeah, Wizkid.
Okay.
Major League DJs.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Bro,
they got them at like the bottom of the flyer in that.
Fam, that's probably why I didn't see them.
Major scenes. Rema's going to be there.
Lil Baby. Lil Durk.
You see it?
Tory Lanez.
Oh!
Tiger. Rick Ross.
Not
Tiger. Omale. Yeah.
Yeah, bro, it's going to be sick.
Steph London.
She's Ty from Dolla Sign as well.
Yeah. Genuine. Hey, listen.
You seen the video of him curving the woman?
No.
You seen it?
No.
Oh, my days. I'm going to find this energy. It's funny.
Hey, listen, you might find me in the Genuine set in those jeans. You get me? So anxious.
Help you. Mm-hmm.
my pony. You get me? I might be in there. I might be in there. I might be in there. I'm looking to capture some content whilst we're there too. So obviously check out, make sure you check out the Out of Home podcast.
And, yeah, it's going to be crazy.
And the IG and all of those good things there, you get me? Yeah, I know you were just about touching what made you smile, but yeah. I'm going to ask you the question officially. Bro, what made you smile this week?
Very simple one. Yesterday, I played football for like 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours?
Very simple, yeah. So about 10 to 11 years ago, me and my boys...
a game and extra time.
Trust me. Me and my boys started playing weekly around... there might as well have been. But we started playing football around the area, but there's a really nice pitch in a park called Larkhall Park.
Big shout out to Larkhall Park. Yeah, yeah, made a bunch of ballers, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't come through for my dreams, but hey.
It's fine, bro.
Still living them out like I did yesterday.
Of course.
2.5 hours is a long time.
Okay. You would not catch me playing football for 2.5 hours.
Bro, but you know what it is? It just felt like such a release and I felt like such a kid.
Mm.
And I was thinking about afterwards, yeah? And I feel like sport and football has taught us so much that we haven't even realized.
Yep.
Like,
touch on some of that stuff.
There's certain leadership skills.
Right.
People skills, communication skills that I feel you just naturally have that you take for granted that you've learned through sport.
Yeah.
In our case, football, innit?
Yeah.
And it's just like there's bare youngers now that come and play and we don't know each other, but we just instantly click or build a connection because we kind of have to because we're playing on the same team and then you find out about them afterwards, you talk.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's a very social, like football's a very social thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Whether you're playing casually or at a high level, it's something where you're always interacting with people. You always have to like have some sort of a connection with them. And I was just thinking about this morning. I was like, rah, I feel like a lot of what I have is from football and I didn't actually realize it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you feel about it? Because I know that you're a big sportsman too.
To touch on that, like what you said about the lessons you learn when you play sport, it wasn't until like later on in my like professional career as away from football, where I was like, oh snap, like I've had to work in teams, I've had to be a leader, I've had to be able to organize people, like work with people from a different culture, communicate with people that don't necessarily speak my language. And it's like football being such a universal language, you're able to touch on all of those different things that help you throughout life. I have this saying which is really funny. Not funny, but it's like I use it in times when you can't really explain certain things or when things are very tough. You can say like life is football because you can almost use the analogy or analogies to make anything make sense. So you know when like for instance you're talking to your brethren and you're saying how like you know, you got to talk to the senior management in whatever. You can just be like, yo, I need to go talk to the gaffer. Like something as simple as that, which can go as far as, remember when we were talking the other day and I was trying to get through the security at Schiphol. And I was I had to play between the lines
and stuff like that
to get through and stuff like that. So if you played football,
it's true.
You can kind of like relate certain things, but
almost everything. Stephen does it very well.
Oh, very, very well. Very well. And like, obviously, if he was here, he'd be able to give us a list off a bunch of those things. You know what I'm saying?
Tactical masterclass.
Oh my God. You see what I mean? you see what I mean? But sport in itself is just like a beautiful tool for young people to just like sharpen those tools that you might not get anywhere else in the world, you know? And I'm a big advocate of not even preaching. If I speak to young players, it's like the stuff that you've learned.
It's mad, isn't it?
That can carry you through anything, you know what I'm saying?
So. How do you feel, Jay? Because you're not someone who like grew up playing sport. You was around it through us, obviously, but what's your point of view on it? And please talk into the mic.
Okay. I've never been like a very big sports person, like I'm not going to lie. But I definitely see like the advantages it could give someone.
Yeah.
Like I feel like even just conversing with people who like are very involved in sport, they're very extroverted and they know how to communicate as well.
Yeah.
And they just have a certain confidence to them as well. Yeah, definitely.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, because you have to be confident to play sport, I would definitely say.
Yeah, I never thought. I never thought about it like that.
I don't know. I've seen some janky players, bro. I've seen some janky players.
I was gonna say I never really thought about it like that, but like to actually perform and to compete, yeah, especially in front of people,
yeah,
you would have to have some level of confidence you to be like, I think I'm good enough at this game to be able to play in front of people and with people to kind of show off my talents. And it's really funny when you actually think about how some people actually lose that confidence after playing sport or separating themselves from sport. I, for one, went through that as well as a person when it's like lost football and it was like, oh, who am I? And you just find your time to find your confidence back. But really and truly, it doesn't really leave you, because if you've been playing for such a long time and been in those environments, then all you have to do is apply my saying, life is football. And then...
yeah. And then it continues.
And then it continues. If life is football, bro, you've done every... I think you...
Do you have that tatted somewhere?
Not yet, but I am.
I feel like you, yeah.
Life is football. because the funny thing is about it is like, you've been in so many situations. You've met good managers, bad managers. You've met people that want your spot, don't want your spot. You've met people that you get on with, you don't get on with. And like, throughout life, you're going to be tried and tested by loads of different people. And you've probably met them in a football environment or a sporting environment. Do you know what I mean? We're all humans at the end of the day, but you come across so many people in that environment.
Concept, you know?
Brother, life is football.
I really like life this concept. Football, why have you not told me this before?
I'm sure I have. This is the first time I'm hearing it. Really?
Life is football.
Yeah, life is football, man. And bro, and the next time you're in any sort of situation that's unrelated to sport, put a sporting cloak over it.
And then slide tackle someone.
And slide tackle somebody, bruv. Slide tackle someone. Or hit a diag. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like...
oh, hit a couple of those yesterday. See? 2.5 hours.
Right. And then if you do something good, huh, the left foot touch is mad. Do you know what I mean? Or when someone's under pressure, you could say, I put him right on his toes there. Or when you'd be like, oh, how's your touch when you drop someone, put someone underneath the bus? Like, there's so many little things you can say that like just correlate to sport and football. I love that.
Big agreeance with that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're starting to see it now, isn't it?
Yeah, I am. I'm starting to see the vision still.
Yeah, trust me.
You ever told the story of Osei and everyone going to his match?
Jadeen is boying. Jadeen is taking the piss.
Came here for spicy talks.
Do people want to hear this, yeah?
Yeah, of course, man.
All right, cool. So, there were three young boys growing up. So obviously me, Osei, and Niall.
Yes, yes.
Osei is the middle child. Arguably the most talented out of all three of us. Most naturally talented.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I have to say. But let's just say his confidence didn't necessarily shine through.
Is that because he's the middle child? I have a theory about this, but please continue your story and we'll get back to it. Just remind me. Mm. And then we have to go middle around child. About like the rest of our what okay. made you smile and stuff.
Okay. So Osei, naturally most talented.
Yeah.
Didn't have the most confidence. I can understand why he, you know, got knocked a couple of times. I remember this fateful day when we all playing for the same team, but just different age groups. And we went to like the end of year celebrations, right? And I think my age group were cleaned up that year. Hella trophies, bro.
Trophies?
Bruv. No trophies. Space on the shelf, fam. No space left on the shelf. If Jenny's listening to this, she's going to laugh at me and Abby as well, because they still take the piss
out.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. You like
that I had them. Trophies on my shelf up until about 26 and a half years of age.
I love
age.
That, man.
Probably 27 even.
Bro, I love that. You should keep them up, man.
Bro, I have trophies from when I was like 11
you know,
on that shelf.
You know, I have no trophies of like for playing football. I have more trophies of gymnastics.
Bro, yeah. Bussing it, yeah?
Man said bussing
it. But bring it up. Bring it up.
In a leotard too. In a leotard. Hey. I was really good. Hey. I actually competed at like a national school level.
I remember after the World Cup final in 2018, you did this mad... You said you used to do gymnastics. And I was like, nah, you didn't, bro. You're capping it. And you just did this mad move. I was like, you definitely did gymnastics, bro, back in the day. And
I remember that.
I believe you.
That
yeah,
was
yeah.
on Rembrandt. Liza Plan or something.
Rembrandt.
Yeah.
Good times.
Good times.
Anyway, hella trophies. Shouts out to my trophies. I actually don't know where they are anymore. But anyway, we move on. Niall's team wins trophies. Osei's team's, like, they didn't do so well, but they're getting, like, some sort of, I don't know what the award was, accolades. And Osei, almost like sympathetically, the coach says, like, the award for the participation, participator of the year goes to, didn't even call out his full name, bruv. As if to say he doesn't even know man's name because he hasn't played. O Downs, participator of the season.
O Downs.
I was like, this guy is mocking it. Osei's been going to training every week, paying his subs. Man don't even know his first name. Doesn't even know his first
name. That's so rude.
The match. I actually still remember this match.
Oh, fam. So anyway, the next season, I think Osei's confidence had taken a knock and he goes on to being a goalkeeper. Don't know who inspired him. I'd be curious to know what he watched.
What player?
To sort of gas him up to be goalkeeper. But
who does Osei support, Arsenal?
This guy, no.
So Liverpool, yeah.
He supports Liverpool
so
now.
So it could have been Jersey Dusek.
Bro, this guy used to... No. Osei's if anyone knows our family, our whole family's crazy. Including Nala. But
the dog.
Osei is the craziest out of all of us. That's a fact. Osei is the craziest, right? This guy has supported Arsenal in his time. Fulham.
What?
Fulham? I think even Chelsea at one point, and then settled on Liverpool. Anyway, goes in goal.
Wow.
And there's like a game against their rivals, Santley. I don't know if you've ever heard of Santley.
No.
Real South London team. They used to play at Brockwell Park, was their home ground.
Okay.
So Osei played for them. So we've gone to this game and they're playing their rivals and Osei's on the bench. Goalkeeper, he's on the bench. He's the backup dancer. So we've all gone to watch the whole family, might I add, every single one of us. To the fact Jay Dean still remembers this when Osei was young playing football, yeah? The whole family's pulled up, yeah? And we've driven from like Stockwell to Dulwich. It was like, when you're young, that's kind of a mission, isn't it? It's 25
that's
minutes.
Long, bro.
It's a day out, basically, bro. He pulled up to Dulwich now. Team sheets come in. Osei hasn't made the first 11. We're like, all right, cool, whatever, innit? We're just here for a good day.
Did he play for Pello?
No. He played... He played for Santley and he was playing against Southbank.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think the manager has clocked that the whole family's here, like, let's try a ting, innit? Like, let's try and make this work. So the team's winning, I think, 2-0. Right?
As in
Southbank. Osei's team is winning 2-0.
Okay, yeah.
Cruise control.
Okay.
So I think my man, like, with 10 minutes left, like, the whole family is here in it. Like, let me just dash my man on.
2-0 is also one of the most precarious scorelines in football, if you didn't know.
Bro.
For reasons Yaf will now display.
Bro. So we're all watching. I mean, you know, we're happy Osei's on. He's a goalkeeper, so there isn't too much action. The team are cruising, as I said. So it's cool, innit? There's not really too much to kind of, like, marvel at. But I feel like Osei wanted to make it interesting for the spectators, the 11 spectators on the side. So the first ball kind of comes to him, yeah?
Yeah.
It's like, it's a bit shaky. Obviously, Rusty probably hasn't played in ages.
The didn't warm up properly.
Probably just brought him on again because we're here, right?
Yeah.
It's a bit shaky, but like, all right, whatever, you know? Next thing comes in, like, a guy shoots from like 20 yards. Osei's jumped like way before time, completely missed the ball. My man's packed out Osei from 20 yards. It's not looking good, bruv. It's 2-1 at this point. It's not looking good, fam. It is not looking good. By the way, there was 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Osei's come on, got packed out inside like the first 2 minutes.
Right.
Shaky first touch, packed out the second time. So we're like, all right,
confident
cool.
Shot.
You know them ones there, yeah? When all the family's silent. Everyone is just watching in like borderline embarrassment.
What's your dad doing at this point as well?
Going crazy.
So embarrassed. Because it's like, everyone can see the writing on the wall. As soon as my man jumped too high to catch that ball and gets packed out 20 yards, it's like we knew what was going to happen. Needless to say, somehow Osei single-handedly manages to throw the game out of the window and they end up losing 3-2 inside 10 minutes.
Oh, Osei had some bet against his team, bro.
My days, fam. I don't think my dad has ever been more disappointed
seriously
in his life.
Oh my
bro,
God.
Bro, I will never forget that.
No way, man.
Shouts out to Osei. Shouts out to goalkeepers. Osei.
No, what I was going to say about middle child syndrome is you said that he's probably the most talented, but probably like the least confident out of you and now, right?
In football.
But like the interesting thing is that as the middle child, the oldest, on occasion or in some families, was obviously there first. So that's the first child. Then you get the second child, and then obviously your parents then become a little bit more like invested into the second child. And then the last child, well, the last boy, now, yeah? And then obviously they'd spend a lot more time there. What then tends to happen is that like the middle child is always vying for attention between the oldest child and the youngest child. So like what ends up happening is that they just go away in their own like worlds, and they end up becoming really good at certain things because like they have so much time to themselves where they haven't necessarily got, I wouldn't say necessarily say attention, but it's like the lack of attention, they end up finding ways to entertain themselves, isn't it? And then they just like have these, not weird, but they just end up having like these interests that are
mad
just
hobbies.
Mad hobbies that you're like, when did you pick that up?
He put me onto this anime called One Piece,
One Piece.
I don't know how or where he found it. Literally, we're on episode 1,000 now.
Oh, 1,000?
How many hours is that? We worked it out.
I think 20 minutes the episode was like 33 hours. Which is like,
wow.
No, 330 hours, like nearly 2 weeks worth of time.
Wow.
Yeah.
What the hell? But yeah, Kwame is a middle child. So shout out to all our middle childs that are listening that have found Out of Fun podcast because they hadn't got enough attention. We are giving you the attention that you need right now.
Yes.
Because we love you. We understand you. We're here for you. And big shout out to Kwame because he is a middle child and he can relate to what we're about to say or what I just said.
Well, speaking of attention.
Right.
Let's put some attention towards you guys.
Okay.
What's been making you guys smile this week?
Let's ask Yudin.
Okay. Well, funny story, guys.
Hey.
I haven't actually told you this. I told you a lie.
Oh.
So on Sunday.
Yaf is looking pensive.
The Kate Trinada show.
Brixton.
I said to Yafi, she got the wrong tickets. She actually got tickets for the after show.
Tell the story.
Okay. Essentially, I got all dressed up.
Right.
Put on my 110s, my Air Maxes. And went to the Kate Trinada show in O2 Brixton.
Come home
now, like 20 minutes later. Everyone's confused. Everyone's like, why are you home? Well, it turns out my friend got fake tickets.
Oh my day.
No. But I said to Yafi that she got tickets for the after show by accident.
No.
But that's we still so got sad. Tickets for the after show. So that made me smile.
I might have something for you. An out of home exclusive. I actually have tickets to his show on Saturday.
Is it?
And I don't know whether or not we'll be able to get you in without us being there, but maybe we can try and pull some strings.
No, it's cool because I went to the after show and the after show was popping.
This one will be
crazy.
This one, it's at Soho House, isn't it?
Oh, Soho House.
Yeah, he's there.
Well, I'm there too.
Okay, yeah. So if maybe we can just be like, no, like Jadine and her friends are coming, so you can go through.
That'd be lit.
Yeah. No worries. Don't worry about your fake ticket, fam. We got you, man. You get me? So that made you smile?
No, because we went to the after show. And
so
it was
she did
crazy.
Get tickets to the after show?
Well, we ended up getting tickets afterwards in the line. It's crazy because there was this group of.
Scalping tickets without having them, going to the show and staying outside like some beggars. What are you doing?
I don't know what it is. We didn't even clock the tickets were fake until we actually got to the front of the line. And she tried to scan it and it wasn't banging. But she got it from some person on Instagram. And I thought it was her friend. But it was just some random stranger.
How much did she pay for them?
She paid like 35 a ticket. Yeah, but it's calm. Yeah.
Proper. Do you know what? It's magia because although these lot were moving kind of mad in the line. It reminds me of when we was in Toronto trying to get into a cabana pool party. I don't know how, bruv. I think that is the greatest escape. Me and Ishmael's optimism combined is what got us into that place, bro. Because that it was even worse than the OVO party.
Bro, I've never ever felt so like unsure about myself outside of a venue. Ever in my life, apart from that one time in Toronto. And the worst thing about it was the sheer, as Yaf said, the sheer optimism that you and Ish had
that we were
going to get in there. And I was like, there's no way in heaven.
Toxic positivity,
that you're
going to
get in there. The worst, do you know when I knew it was bad? This is when I knew it was bad. When Ish looked at me and said, because we had like one ticket or two tickets, and there was like four of us, right? When Ish goes to me, nah, man, who was his housemate called again?
James.
James. He's like, nah, K, Kieran, you and James go in there, man, because obviously me and Yaf's been there already, and I don't want you to miss it, man. You lot need to go. And you were being so serious.
I remember that.
You know, in my head, I was like, nah, I can't do it, yeah? But the more Ish, like, pushed me, I was like, all right, fuck it, I'll go ahead with it. So I went. And I was literally in there by myself, innit? Just like, yeah, just having
a set look. The scene of what Cabana Pool Party in Toronto during Carabana is saying. So, please, for the listeners.
So Cabana Pool Party is an outdoor space, no roof, bare people. On the water. You can see the CN Tower from across the river.
Glorious.
There's a VIP section with a pool. There's a general population area where there was just... people. Like, you would look over, like, try and look over the crowd, and you wouldn't even know where your left hand was. Like, it was packed, the sun was shining, the beats were blazing, there was gyal, there was man, there was everything
alcohol.
In there. There was alcohol flowing, and everyone was just on a good vibe. And I stepped in there and said, well, I'm in here now, I don't know what's going to happen to the man then, but I'm going to try my best to, like, enjoy myself, innit? But then I did feel a little bit guilty, so I went back outside to, like, whatever, I think it was the smoking area, and I managed to have a little conversation with them. And at this point, Yaf and Ish are speaking to a bouncer right where I ended up being, yeah? And they are literally just smooching, like, talking, waxing lyrical.
Me and him are a deadly combo, bruv.
Honestly, I've never seen anything like it. And they managed to find themselves inside. And we had a great time. But honestly, before I actually got into that place, I was like, let's just go in it. Like, why are we still waiting here? Like, you know when that feeling starts to hit you?
Toxic positivity, fam. I feel like if you tell yourself something is going to happen, it's not going to happen.
It's true.
But if you say there's a way, we're going inside,
yeah,
you'll make it happen, fam.
That's very true, man.
We should do an episode on toxic positivity. Mm. But we need Stephen and Kwame.
We definitely need the boys. Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah.
It's
very hard to be positive and also avoid the toxic positivity, yeah. I feel like.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
But we'll save that. For
your love. Yeah, save it. What's been making me smile? The sun. The sun has been making me smile, I can't lie.
The sun is shining.
The weather is
sweet.
Shout
out to Stephen. Yeah, the weather is beautiful. I've never heard that song. I've never heard Bob Marley be butchered. How can you butcher Bob? How can you butcher Bob, fam?
He still doesn't know who the song's sung by. Fucking hell. But no, the sun has been putting me in a great mood.
Yeah,
sure. Obviously, Drake has released his, I guess, 12th studio album, I think.
Ooh.
Ooh. Maybe 10th, I don't
Ooh.
Know. Go for it.
When we were driving here on the way,
yeah.
I mentioned to Jadeen that you think CLB and Scorpion
why did you bring it to the
are at
pod,
the bottom man. Of the table.
Oh.
To which Jadeen agreed.
Yeah, that's true.
She also agrees with you that Scorpion is better than CLB.
Yeah.
To which I fundamentally disagree with.
But it's an opinion, in my opinion. Like, it's my opinion, isn't it?
It's different. Scorpion hits different.
It does.
I feel like I was saying the whole story around it as well.
There you go.
And the hysteria built around it in terms of, like, his child, and I feel like plays a lot into it.
There you go, man. There you go.
You guys talking with emotion over here. If we're just talking pure bangers.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy.
Trust me.
It's like two different halves. Like, it's too banging. CLB can't chat to it.
I don't think... this is... that's my same opinion, man. Like, for me, and I did say this, and Yaf tried to use it against me, like the politician that he is and lawyer, I was like, it has a very sentimental value to me. Yeah. Because it came out when I moved to Amsterdam. And like, I was like, oh my gosh, Drake soundtracked my move to Amsterdam. Jaded was also like a very like current theme to me at the time as well. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. I would bang that song every day, cycle to work.
What, Jaded?
Yeah.
What's your favorite bar in Jaded?
Oh, flipping hell. When he talks about going to George's mum's house and talking about the car, I can't even remember. Left me at your, no. See, yeah. That line.
I think I like, and like guns with the ink in, you're getting under my skin. Pretty little young thing, had a nigga confidence.
Yeah, bro.
That part was hard.
Jaded it. Well, I like it, like the beginning. Yeah.
Hey, listen, Ty Dolla Sign on that tune is instrumental.
Leaving me, dipping out on me. Already,
out from recordings, yeah.
I guess quickly, yeah,
that, no doubt.
Learn yourself from me,
out from recordings.
Already, oh, that's hard. Like, see, bro, like, there's so many. I think, do you know what? Drake hasn't given us like that's like his R&B album, isn't it? Yeah. That's like, and which leads me back to my point about like this whole like Drake releasing his album and why it made me so happy. Yeah, Drake now has a dance album, right? And I don't think there's an artist that taps into more like bags than Drake. Drake has a song for every fucking mood, bro. Every single mood. And I saw the outpour
as well.
Yeah, slappers.
Slappers.
I saw the outpour and the outrage of Drake.
Warranted?
Release. No, not in my opinion. Not in my opinion. I'm going to stand by my opinion. My opinion is like whatever my opinion is. So whatever you think, I don't care. But
why do you think Sierra better?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Why do you think Sierra better?
I just think Scorpion was good, but CLB just has more bangers for me.
But I think the type of Drake you like, Scorpion's not going to give it to you.
No, I've got a lot of songs that I like on Scorpion. Yeah, 100%. Okay. And it also came out at a time when I was living like a new type of life, if that makes sense. Because I had just moved to Amsterdam, 3 months
yeah,
before
yeah,
you?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And that summer...
Also, it does have sentimental value.
That summer, too. It does, but I still don't think it's the better one, bro.
It is.
Nah, man. There was too many slappers on CLB.
There was too much hype on CLB, man. I don't think... Like, yeah, come on, man. Oh, God. Here we go. Let me get my thing.
That's
hard.
I love you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's heartbreak.
Yes. And that's not even Drake.
Yeah, that's not even Drake, fam.
I do like 7 a.m. on Bridal Path, which is amazing. And there's a song about Rihanna that's on it that's quite nice as well. But after that,
let me tell you the songs that slap.
Too rich for who, you just got rich again.
Champagne's poetry.
What?
Champagne's poetry.
8 out of 10 cats. 8 out of 10. What? Are you mad?
Can I get a tally? Champagne's poetry. Slappers. I think we'd all agree.
All right, cool.
Girls want girls with little baby.
Sing it. Slappers. Sing it, sing it, sing it.
I don't know.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
Slapper.
It's good.
In the Bible, slapper.
Okay.
You see how Gemma was slapping Luca with the fish the other day? Slaps.
Okay. Yeah.
Little Dirk goes crazy.
In the Bible, yes.
Okay. Love All with Jay-Z.
No.
Let's not pretend. Who's keeping count? Because currently we're on 4.
You're on 4. All right, you're on 4.
All right. Fair Trade with Travis Scott. Oh, wait, now your memory's coming back in there, JD.
Is it a slapper? Is it? Are we doing tally for tally? No, we're not doing this yet. Because in my opinion...
No, we're not doing 10 for 10.
In my opinion.
However, I'm going through the track list to tell you what songs bang.
Okay.
Way Too Sexy. Let's not get started. That's six already.
No. I almost...
Then you got Into Deep as well.
I'm not having...
Leave it alone, man.
I'm not having Way Too Sexy.
Fountains with Thames, bro. Come on. What are we talking about here?
Scorpion. Emotionless.
You lot are mocking it. Emotionless. Emotionless.
Yeah. You
emotionless. God's Plan. Yeah. If you're gonna draw four.
Slappers. No. Bangers. Big bangers. I just think CLB's better, man.
Eight out of ten. Mob Ties.
Mob Ties is hard.
Come on. Sandra's Rose is actually one of his rappy songs on there as well. Mm. Right, right. Peak.
Yeah, yeah.
Peak. Jaded, obviously.
Final Fantasy.
Nice for what?
Ooh, don't piss.
Don't piss me off.
There for me, there for
don't.
Me.
Whenever I hear a Lauryn Hill sample, it wins for me, innit? Like it's a banger, innit? Mm. I actually like Ratchet Happy Birthday, but don't jump on me.
It came out. It came on in Bitterzoo once.
Did it?
And it was slapping.
Oh, bro. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Final Fantasy After Dark with Static Major and Ty Dolla $ign.
After Dark's crazy.
Come on, man.
After Dark.
Come, bro. I think they're
both. You get my point with CLB, though.
I do get your point, but they're both still at the bottom of his thing.
How many tracks are on Scorpion?
Oh, don't do that,
Evan. No, 25. Okay, 21 on CLB. CLB is not worse than Scorpion.
They're both bloated, as Kwame would say. Kwame would say they're trash anyway.
He's a hater,
Kwame would say they're trash. But as I was saying, yeah, this dance album by Drake is actually banging.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm perfect still getting into it. I think perfect timing. I think once everybody starts to go outside, have their barbecues, go on holiday, be around some sexy people with some drinks. Ooh. That is like that's the vibe that Drake's doing, you know?
Fade and a glass in your hand.
Yo, bruv.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Shades on.
Yeah, man. As I said, the shirt is open and the wind is hitting
you might
it
have your
side.
Little side bag as
you
well.
You get me? Side bag, chains blinging. You get me? All of those things, man.
Little one.
Yeah.
Beyonce's new album.
Yeah,
not a album,
new song.
New song.
Yeah. I like that too.
I like
she's
that
on the
as
same
well.
Vibes.
She's on the house vibe
she's
as well.
On the same vibes.
Really?
Yeah. It's house thing. That came out today. It was very nice, man. What else has been making me smile? Quickly.
Love Island.
Love Island, of course. Every day I tune in and it has honestly been giving me absolute jokes and full-time banter.
I feel like we need to explain the Love Island hype to the global audience that we serve. I was speaking to a friend of mine yesterday who's from ENDS and he's like, yeah, if I didn't expect you to watch, what the fuck's wrong with you? And I had to break it down to him, bro. Yeah. I had to show him the vision.
Yeah.
For people in London that don't understand it, Love Island is that one thing that culturally unites everyone.
Yes.
It's like when England are playing.
Yes.
It brings every culture together.
It does.
To have a conversation. Mm. First thing. The second thing, it's a bit of bullshit. After a long, hard day at work, you want to decompress. You know, you want to zone out. Love Island is the thing. Even down to the like shitty, cheesy type of adverts that you get on ITV2,
mm-hmm.
which are all around like Just Eats and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
it's all
part of it.
All part of it.
All part of it. And then, of course, the drama, which is also scripted, but adds so much entertainment value, bro. Like, Love Island is just the shit.
It makes me smile and laugh every single night.
You can talk to anyone who watches Love Island for about 20 minutes easily.
Easily, bro.
Do you know what it is? It's like, you know how guys have sport as an instant connector if they don't know each other to bond? Love Island is that thing. I'm really gassing up Love Island. Today.
This is so funny because
it's
as
that
someone
thing that connects people.
For someone that doesn't necessarily watch bullshit TV or reality TV, you actually like
no,
Love Island.
I've
consumed
my fair share of bro, I was watching something with Abby on HBO Max, which is not out in the UK, which I'm very angry at, called Fuckboy Island.
What?
Some bullshit. Like, it was terrible, though.
Can I?
Absolute trash.
Before you tell me what it's about, can I kind of like have a guess?
Absolutely.
Of what the premise of this show is? Maybe I'm trying to think about it. Okay, one woman, maybe plenty of women, and maybe plenty of men, and all the guys have girlfriends, and they're trying to convince this woman that they don't. No.
Ooh, close.
Ooh.
There's. I think there's only a few handful of women.
Yeah.
Bare men.
Okay.
BBK knew what they were singing about when they were speaking about this show.
Too many men, too many men.
Bare man, few girls. And there's good guys, and then there's the fuck boys.
Okay.
Inverted commas on each. And within that, the girls have to try and decipher if they're talking to a good guy or a fuck boy. It's so stupid. It's so stupid.
That's just dating, though.
It's so stupid, but like...
Jaden just said, that's just dating.
They just characterized... No, but they actually have like characterized these are the official good guys on the show.
Yeah.
These are the self-proclaimed fuckboys. And then the woman has to like try and figure out which one she wants.
Is it entertaining?
Almost too stupid to watch.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, fair.
I'll stop at Love Island.
Fair.
Sorry,
fair.
I told you that Love Island made you smile, but that's only because we've been messaged about it.
Yeah, of course.
Nearly on a daily basis.
It has been. Shout out to my boy Davide, who came in.
Oh, Davide.
He came in and I didn't like him at all. And it, I think after two episodes, he became my favorite
character. Davide had me burning when he was getting onto Ekin-Su. Nah.
Single episode, you know.
Listen, get on it. Ekin Poo Poo has been jarring me every single day.
I told everyone about Italians. I told everyone.
Yaf proclaims that Italians are the Caribbeans or the black people of Europe, which is really funny.
It's factual.
I don't know if it's factual, but there are some things that
it's
check out.
True.
There's some it's things true. That check out. Oh, okay. Why?
She gave you the nod, bro.
I used to work like at a bar.
Yeah.
Bare Italians I used to work with. I was like,
he's like
I get it.
So laid back, so chilled. They just get like they get when they get irate, they're telling you about
shots,
it.
Mad shots, the whole shit. There was this one security guard as well. She's like, they call it tequila because it's tequila. I was like,
do you know what? Yeah. None of us have ever worked at a bar. So like all the out of homies, I think we had retail jobs.
Yeah.
But I don't know if anyone what's some of the dumb/crazy funny shit that you experience working at a bar?
You see mad stuff.
Yeah.
The funniest. People trying to get free drinks, people trying to like completely gone. It's the best environment, I'm not gonna lie.
Seriously.
It's the best environment.
I had a friend, three friends that worked in bars, Omar, Now and Vince. Like, and they would always just come back with the funniest of stories. Now has this great impression of like a hood man coming to buy a drink, yeah. And they'll be like, "Hey, yo, let me get two Hennessy's, yeah. But on the first Hennessy, make sure there's two ices in there,
yeah.
And the second one, put the apple in there, but don't put the apple in too much, yeah. And then the third one, I want a shot. Give me the shot, but specific. Let me get the shot for free, bruv. Like,
mad specific. Or they'll say, "Yeah, I want a single. Give me a wink," and he'll be like, "Double." Like, okay.
Too funny, man.
Two jokes.
And lastly, I wrote a little like piece on Kendrick's album recently, and I put it out today, which was really nice. Which was cool. Like, it was cool. Like,
how do you feel after putting it out?
Really nice. It was very I find writing quite cathartic, and I listen, and this new Kendrick tape had it put me in a really interesting space whilst I was listening to it the first time. And as I started to like unravel like the lyrics and the songs, I started to kind of like really embody what Kendrick was trying to do. And for me, it was like he's going through therapy and he is like facing his fears, his demons, his transgressions. He's like acknowledging things that happened in his past, but he's giving it to the world to see. And I think what he's now done is like open doors for discourse and for people, especially black men, to just like look inward a little bit more and have these conversations, especially with their families, but with their spouses and their friends too. So I found it like a really nice like exercise of writing and thinking. And yeah, it's been nice to kind of just finally put it out there. I've been working on it for like a couple of weeks. So yeah, that's what's been making me smile, G.
What song would you say touched you the most?
Ooh, the first time I heard Crown, I cried. Yeah. Yeah. It's a very somber. It's like, I don't know if it's somber, but in a way that it's like, it was funny. I was outside. It was raining in the morning. I was skipping. Yeah. And like, he's kind of croons like, "You can't please everybody." Yeah. And he like repeats it. And as I'm skipping, I was like, rah, like it just like, it was speaking to me at that very moment, you know? But I think the most powerful one on there is probably Mother I Sober, yeah. Where I think he talks about, literally everything. And that song. But there's so much like ups and downs on that album that you're just like, this is amazing. I like, is it Die Hard?
I love that song.
It's a bop, innit?
Yeah, I love it.
It's a real bop, man.
It's crazy.
I'm at the pain away. I pop the pain away.
Do you guys think he made the album as a result of COVID and being more introspective? Or do you feel like it could have been ready and he was just like, "I cannot drop this during COVID because people will lose their minds possibly"?
That's a really good question, bro. But I think it would have been after COVID. Yeah. I think COVID...
So you think he started writing it after COVID?
I think he was going through the process of healing and exploring himself during COVID. In the album, he says for 2 years he had writer's block. Mm. and he didn't know what he like. He didn't know whether or not he was gonna like drop albums and stuff like this.
Yeah, because since the Black Lives Matter movement,
yeah,
like with what happened,
yeah,
I don't think he's actually dropped anything.
No.
So I think there was a lot of pressure on him.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like these tracks have kind of been within that progress of yeah, what
definitely,
he is.
Definitely,
and especially with the topics.
Yeah, definitely, and it was you can hear the introspection. I think on when I was writing, I was saying that in his older albums, he tends to give us an experience through the eyes of others and obviously his own experiences, but he's almost like the observer in so much situations. Like we get so close to the environment that he's from, like Kendrick is talking about like his experiences in Compton, his struggle with like his religion and like him and the black power movement in like To Pimp a Butterfly, but you never get to hear like who Kendrick is and what Kendrick's dealing with, you know? And I think this album is something that like really opens the doors for like just vulnerability and truth, which is just a really beautiful thing. So yeah, it was really nice to kind of just like figure it out, have like this little exercise and finally put it outside. So you can listen to that read that whenever.
Question. If you had like 10 of the hardest boys that would never open up, or something you might say to them, not say to them, or what would you play them? Set the room, set the scene for the room.
Bruh, so.
Yes, Jaden.
That's a really good question, Jay,
man. Come on, fam.
Yeah, natural, fam. Bruh, so I'm in a room with like 10 kids, like 10, how old are they?
Let's say 18 to 25.
18 to 25. What would I say to them? And I guess it all depends on their life experience, innit? But I think for me, it'd be like, yo, like, life is bigger than yourself. Do you know what I mean? Life is bigger than yourself. And I think when you start to open yourself up to the world and see things from a whole different perspective and meet different people that are not just like you, you start to realize that, like, even though the struggles and the battles that you have, a lot of people still go through the same things. And you're able to look past the things that have happened in your past and create positive change for yourself, like here and now, you know? Because I think the reason why some people or some boys, especially from our community, end up the way they do is because they think that they have to. But on top of that, the environments that they're in force them to be that way. And the biggest thing or the biggest impact that I've had, or the thing that's had the biggest impact on me, was literally leaving the ends, isn't it? And I think when you start to branch out and you get to explore not even the other side, but other sides of you, you start to realize that you don't have to fit into this mold or this box that society tells you that you have to be in. Because in actual fact, like some of those kids or some of those boys that are like the hardest, they might have like things that they like, but they're scared to admit. Do you know what I mean? Because of the environments that they're in or the people that they're around, innit? They might actually like listening to Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And sing it on the top of their lungs. But they're never going to say that. But the thing is, that's what makes you different. That's what makes you unique. That's what makes you, like, go beyond and bigger than the places that you're from, innit? And I think, like, being able to embrace your individuality as an as a person is one of the most powerful things that you can ever do. And I think, like, even though...
It's true, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like people gravitate towards that as well.
Right. And, like, some of the people that I love in this world, like, are people that just live in their truth every single day.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And when you see them, it's like, you just don't care. It is, isn't it? It's like, you don't actually fucking care.
Yeah.
And I like, that's one thing that I'm just like, look, you don't actually have to... You get me? Care to a point, but not really about the opinions of others, because you're going to live this life yourself. Like your the way that you go move and maneuver through this life, you're not going to take all your boys or the things that you have with you. Yes, you might have some trauma and whatever, and I shouldn't say whatever because trauma is real, but at the same time, it's like the trauma that you have doesn't necessarily have to define you or keep you in a space that you have. You can actually just like use it to empower you to do something else or something better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just make a joke and then like take it from there.
I got too serious.
All right, who's the most fucked up in this room? Which one of y'all? And then we'd all just start like talking about our bullshit.
Trust me.
I'd basically trick them into talking about their trauma.
Yeah, yeah, no,
by making it a competition because they'd compete with each other. Nah, fam, that's nothing, bro. Man had to do. Da-da-da-da.
I like that though. I like that.
What did you say?
So then you slide tackle someone.
then you slide tackle someone. Because like football, exactly. I think, no, but that's really good though. Because imagine if it was me and you, you could hit that. You could start it like that. Do you know what I mean? You could, this one thing about your bro that I'm sure you know already, but I do tell him, he has this ability to disarm people. Whether, no matter what the situation is, no matter if they're in person or on a fucking Zoom call, Yaf has the ability to let to make people's guards fall down. Do you know what I mean? And connect to them on a level where they feel very comfortable. And then I have this ability to like really connect with people on a really deep and emotional level. So once Yaf has gone, I can just be like, yeah, let me just poke this a little
once
bit.
Once I've played the through ball,
yeah, just
Kieran's there finishing off because
life is football. Hey. Do you know what? We've actually had time, but we did, like, you did ask a question before we got on the air, Jaden, about what was the question that you asked us? Do you want to touch on that before we... Let's touch on that.
So we were talking about branding.
Yeah.
And I think I said something like... Has branding essentially accentuated aspects of humanity that has always been there? Or has social media just come and amplified it, essentially? Yeah. I think was the question.
That's a really good question. And I'm going to ask you to take the floor on this one first.
Not as an expert, might I add. Brandon's always been there, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Before Brandon was advertising and Brandon was what, like 50s?
I'm talking as a person. Yeah. Branding yourself as a person.
Okay.
It's always been there, though.
Yeah.
Always. Whether you're a guy trying to get girls... And you want to be the funny guy, or you want to be the emotional guy, or the guy that's good at dancing, whatever.
Mm.
Everyone always plays into their strengths, which is essentially them playing into their brand.
Okay.
And now there are just more opportunities, more touch points, more parts of you that you can showcase to people through social media. And if you just want to show one side of yourself to social media, you can do that and therefore build a strong brand around one particular thing.
Mm.
It might be your art. You're more than just an artist, but if you want to be known as Jaden the artist, for people who don't know you, that's how they'll see you, innit?
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like what social media does is it allows you to craft your brand a lot more fine-tuned than what you can do in real life, because someone could see you in real life and not know you're an artist. They might say, oh, she looks creative, but they might not know you're an artist. And I think social media just allows you to be a lot more specific in what it is you want to communicate to the world.
I like that. I do like that, man. And I probably would agree with you because I don't think I have much to add to that. I'm just thinking about like branding from before like the social media era and wondering whether or not people in themselves would have been, as you said, Jeff, using the skills that they had, all their talents to brand themselves. I guess before then, it was only people with talents, though, wasn't it? Yeah. It wasn't people who were...
Social media bought skill.
Right. So it wasn't necessarily people who were working in factories. They're not going to brand themselves. Like, quote-unquote, housewives or house husbands, they weren't going to brand themselves either. Do you know what I mean? But it was going to be... Here's a point that just actually came to my head. It wasn't. It's social media has allowed people to brand themselves personally. I think before, you would have been showcased as a brand through a corporation or through a machine. We still are in some cases when you think about like artists and actors and whoever. But I think, as you said about scale, if you have a talent now, you now have a platform in which you can use that to brand yourself. Because before, I guess, if you were Marilyn Monroe, I was about to say Marilyn Manson, but that would have been a faux pas. Marilyn Manson... I said it. I said it. If you were Marilyn Monroe, she never branded herself, so to speak. You could make the argument she did, but I don't think she branded herself. I think Hollywood branded Marilyn Manson. Marilyn Monroe. I have fumbled the bag.
Hey,
I have temporarily fumbled the bag.
You don't know what Marilyn Manson looks like?
Marilyn Monroe?
Wow, if
Marilyn
we show you
Monroe. Monroe. Marilyn
if
Monroe.
I show you a picture of Marilyn Manson, you're going to...
No, Marilyn Monroe and Marilyn Manson, tonight. They look completely different. They're actually polar opposites.
Literally. But you know what, yeah? With social media, it's provided an incentive for people to be more conscious about their brand.
Yes, yes.
I think that's the thing. And I was listening to something the other day and they said the developers of Instagram... They must have been very intentional with labeling followers.
Of course.
Like, whereas with Facebook, you have friends. Mm-hmm. Instagram, you have followers. So naturally, that will make it the ego platform.
Yeah.
The more followers you have, just language.
Yeah.
Something
as
small as that.
It's true. And I guess, like, before
you have...
I have
to say Twitter did start
fans.
That, but...
True.
Started it.
All right. Okay, boomer.
Metaverse loaded. Communities.
Yeah, no, I think before you had fans, innit? You never had followers. Only cults had followers.
Only fans.
What?
Only fans.
Pardon? Yesterday, someone said my voice was very sexy and that I should start an OnlyFans just talking.
Or they could just listen to the podcast.
Exactly. This is exactly what I said.
Was this one of your new followers on TikTok?
Oh, yeah. So, by the way, guys, before we wrap this up, yeah. So, I've started a TikTok account.
Kieran said.
We
had a call that out of homies.
Tell them.
The first one in a while, my ad. We're absolutely buoying it. But we recognize that. And we said we'd have a call to get things straight. Kieran jumps on the call, topless, much like myself, actually, my ad.
You do it more than I do.
Yeah. And he said, guys,
I found my calling.
I'm going to be the next TikTok sensation. He was dead serious. He was dead ass.
I was dead ass.
Talk to us about your new journey very quickly.
So, yeah, I think this is where the actual conversation came from Jadeen. I was basically saying how she should jump on TikTok because as creators, it's actually a very good platform because what it does when you continue to use it and it finds out your algorithm, it finds you followers and your fans, right? So a friend of mine has been telling me for time, Kieran, get your music on TikTok. Do all the things you do on IG, on TikTok. Like, you're a very personable person. People will like to see you sort of thing. You bank sort of thing. And I was like, nah, I wasn't really on it. And then one day I just said, nah, let me just put something out there on it. I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it, bruv. I enjoy it because...
Watch this space, yeah.
Yeah, what, bruv, watch this space. I'm just going to dash videos up there and see whatever sticks. And
new
then
passion.
New passion, man. New passion. So if you see me, I'm at brand new, bro. If I start getting millions of views on the TikTok.
We say next time you're in Malta, it's different.
They'll be like, yo, that's Kieran from TikTok. I was like, yeah, it's me, man. It's me.
Never really loved me. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Never really loved me. But yeah, today's been great, man. It's been a really cool episode. Jadeen, you should come some more often, man.
Then.
Oh shit! All right, shit then. But big shout out to the other homies, Stephen and Kwame, who couldn't be with us today. But they will be back next week when me and Yaf will be with Kwame. I'm not sure if Stephen will be back next week.
The man, them are just different time zones, isn't it?
Literally different time zones. But Neverland, we will be in Amsterdam. Neverlanding podcast, out of home podcast of the world. Neverland. But yeah, this has been the Out of Home podcast with your boys and girl, Kieran, Yaf and Jadeen. I hope you enjoy this one. Like, comment, subscribe to my TikTok and to the podcast.
But mainly the TikTok. We need Kieran to blow to front the Out of Home podcast, fam. We need some new life in this, bro.
Just me, bro. But yeah, and if you feel like giving us some money, give us some money. All right, see you later, man.
Cool.
Bless.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.